Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Monday. It's February the 22nd. And I'm glad you're here with me today. We have a good show. We're going to take a look at the gospel from today's Mass. We're also going to look at your Give Up Worry for Lent daily reflection. So you know, it's one of my favorites. This is such a good message for us today, that something that we all need to keep in mind. I'll leave you in suspense a little while longer. We'll talk more about it throughout the program. Hope you're able to stick around for the entire show. You know the deal. I have a chair for you right here, right across from me at the table. I've got my mug of water. I hope you have a beverage, a snack, and you're ready to get started. Let me take a sip of my water to make sure my voice holds out. Today, by the way, is the church celebrates the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. Sounds like kind of a weird feast. What the heck's going on there? Essentially, we're honoring or commemorating the papacy, the fact that Jesus left, and we'll hear this in the gospel, Jesus left someone in charge, an earthly figure in charge of his church. That tradition has continued down, beginning with St. Peter. It's continued down to the present day with Pope Francis. So we're very blessed to have that person in charge of our church, but I'm going to share that, and that's really important. I'm very grateful for that. As somebody who is Catholic, I'm really grateful that we have the gift of the papacy, because our Holy Father does lead us, and we have that figure, that representative of Christ here on earth. Because you know how it is, no matter how hard we try, and we sadly see a lot of this in the church, in the various Christian denominations today, these disagreements pop up. You know, everyone claiming to use the Bible, and their beliefs are based on Scripture, but then there's individual interpretations within those beliefs. You know, and it gets confusing. So as Catholics, we're blessed to have this solid body of teaching, led by our Holy Father, who is currently Pope Francis, to keep us online, to keep us on track, to keep us from straying and coming up with our own versions of the truth. So it's really a big day. But I'm gonna also use a different angle for the gospel, and I think it's one that ties in nicely with our Lenten journey. You know, we are still in Lent now. Technically, we are in the first week of Lent. We began on Ash Wednesday, but yesterday was the first Sunday of Lent. We've got five Sundays during the Lenten season, and then we have Holy Week. So the sixth Sunday will be Palm Sunday, leading into Holy Week. And then, of course, we celebrate Easter, and then we have the celebration of the Easter season after that. So we got a long way ahead of us, even during Lent, before we get into Easter. But, you know, here's the thing, and I really want you to know this, is we're only a few days in. And I don't know what you gave up for Lent. Maybe you gave up worry and you're using my book, which is fantastic. Maybe you gave up something else. Maybe you took on something instead of giving something up. You took on a particular practice of some kind, going to daily Mass, reading the Bible, doing acts of charity, or, you know, so whatever it is. Chances are, throughout the 40 some days of Lent, you're going to mess up. We all do. We stumble. You know, I mentioned it before. Jesus fell three times as he carried his cross. We're going to stumble. And I believe that sometimes God lets us stumble because he wants to remind us that we're not self-sufficient, that we really do need him. The key is to not stay on the ground, to get back up and to start over again. Because what we need to be careful about, and look, I'm as guilty of this, probably more so than most people, what we need to be careful of is the fact that we don't become proud with whatever we're doing for Lent. And when we do slip up, we beat ourselves up and say, how could this have happened? I should be better than this. Well, none of what we're doing would be possible without the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I told you I think it's critical to let the Holy Spirit be in charge of whatever, of our Lenten practice. So yeah, we do the work, but we're working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we let the fruit of our work, of our sacrifice be determined by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will determine what kind of progress we make. So I don't think we should beat ourselves up too much, because then it really does become all about us. Lent is about growing closer to Christ and trying to leave our old ways behind and follow Him and let Him lead us to the Father and ultimately to our eternal home in heaven. I mean, that's what Lent's all about. If it becomes too much about my accomplishments, then I lose sight of Him, and I can easily forget how much I need Him, right? So we want to be really careful that that doesn't happen. So if you mess up, don't be too hard on yourself. Just get up and keep trying. It's not the end of the world if you don't live up to your Lenten promises. It's not the end of the world. But it wouldn't be good if you just gave up. I remember years ago when I would try to go to daily Mass during Lent, and this was even in my younger days, and invariably there'd be one day when I'd oversleep or I just didn't feel like getting up. And then at that point, I just felt like giving up. But that's because it was all about me. And, you know, the devil loves it when we do that kind of stuff. And he tries to get in our heads and make us give up and make us think that you're never going to succeed. Why are you even trying? He's a liar. We don't want to listen to him. So let's get back up. Let's keep moving forward, because this is possible. It is possible for you to change. It is possible for you to give up worry for Lent, or whatever it is that you're trying to give up for Lent. It is possible to become a different person. It is possible to give up that sin that you just never can seem to be able to give up. It is possible, but you got to take it one day at a time, and you have to lean on the Lord Jesus for help. And that's the key. All right, so I hope you're ready to get started. It's kind of a dreary day. We had a little bit of snow, but it's now has turned into rain, which is great. And I understand that midweek we're going to get up into the 50s here. I think low 50s, but man, I'll take it. I'll take it as we get ready to close out February. I hope you're doing well wherever you are. I hope you're not impacted adversely in any way by the weather. Hope all is going well in your life. I just want you to know I prayed for you today, and I'll continue to do so. I pray for you every day, and that's just such a blessing to be able to hang out with you for the 30 minutes of this program. So with that in mind, let's pray. Let's turn to Jesus in prayer today and ask Him to help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, thank you for always being here for us. Jesus, no matter where we go, we can always turn to you and speak to you. Sometimes we don't feel your presence, Lord, but that's okay. Faith isn't about feeling. Faith is about believing. It's about knowing. And we know by faith that you're with us. We also know that you are all-powerful, that you can do all things, and that you love us with an unconditional love. And we're so grateful for that, Jesus. So we lift up to you all of our intentions today. We give you our needs. Please help us. Please help us to overcome the temptation of committing sins this day. Help us to desire the will of your Father more than anything else. Jesus, we lift up our family, our friends, ourselves. We ask you to bless us all. We ask you, Lord, to help anybody who is suffering today in any way. And Jesus, we ask you to pour out your Spirit on us, especially for the next 30 minutes. Please give me the words that you'd like me to deliver. Please direct my thoughts and my words. And please open all of our minds through your Spirit so that we can hear your message and be willing to put it into practice. Jesus, I thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. And I ask this in your mighty name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday, And I'm so glad to be able to do this. And I just again, want to thank you for hanging out with me, because it wouldn't make for a very good show if I didn't have anybody to talk to. So I really appreciate it. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your kind words that you send me through email. I appreciate your financial contributions, which are enabling me to sustain my ministry during these difficult pandemic time of pandemic. So I'm very thankful for your support. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. I wanted to say something to you. If you follow me on Facebook, or if you subscribe to my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you may have noticed today a little ad that I put up for my soon-to-be-released book, Give Up Worry for Good. This book, you know, because I've been so focused on Give Up Worry for Lent, I haven't been saying too much about this book, but I am really excited about this. The book will be available on March the 12th. That's the release date. You can pre-order it on Amazon now. In fact, I've got my initial shipment of books from the publisher. So as far as I know, the book is... It's been received at Ave Maria Press, so they got the book, and it just takes a little time to get it shipped over to Amazon and get ready to be sent out. But this book, Give Up Worry for Good, what this is the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent. So what was happening was I was getting comments from people saying, well, what do we do after Lent's over? Do we start worrying again? And it's like, no, you can't start worrying again. So I came up with this 8-week program, very similar. It's a day-by-day process, daily reflection. Plus, the other question I was getting was, can we use this Give Up Worry for Lent in a group setting? So Give Up Worry for Good is not only an 8-week program designed for individual use, but it's also set up for group use as well. So if you want to do the process in a small group, Give Up Worry for Good is your book. Now, you can pre-order it. You can do that now. And again, the release date at the moment is March the 12th. I suspect it'll be a little earlier than that because the book is back from the printer. So I really do think it will be earlier. I recommend you get yourself a copy now if you're interested. Give Up Worry for Good, my latest book, and you will hear more about the book in the near future. If you have enjoyed Give Up Worry for Lent, I really think you're going to like this book because it's very similar. It follows the same format that has proven to be very successful, and people really seem to like. So Give Up Worry for Good now, available for pre-order now. You can visit followingthetruth.com for more information. I don't think I put a link. I have to put a link up on followingthetruth.com. You can find out about all my books there. But right now, if you want to pre-order Give Up Worry for Good, you're going to have to go to Amazon or to Ave Maria Press, okay, for more information. By the way, if you haven't signed up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, please go to followingthetruth.com to do that. All righty? Okay. All right, down to business here. So Give Up Worry for Lent. This is such a good verse today. This is one. Well, let me just read it, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It's very simple. You've heard this before. These are the words of the angel Gabriel to the Blessed Mother when he was announcing that she had been chosen to become the mother of the Savior. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, who doesn't know that, right? We know that. Sure, he's Almighty God. Everything's possible to God. He can do all things. He can do it all. We believe that, right? As Christians, we believe God can do all things. But what about when you get the bad medical report? Or you or someone in your family gets diagnosed with an incurable illness? Or you're looking for work and you've sent out 100 resumes, gone on interviews, and nothing. Or what about if you're waiting for that special someone, that potential spouse, as I did for many years before I got to meet Eileen? How about the pandemic? And we're praying for this pandemic to end. We're just about 12 months into this thing, and we're still praying. We're not seeing the end. you really believe that nothing is impossible for God? And if you do, how come you worry sometimes? And I say you, but I mean me too. And let's face it, let's be honest. We might believe it to a certain extent, but when it becomes real, when it's our life on the line, then all of a sudden, when we're facing an impossible problem, right? It becomes very difficult to truly believe that with God, all things are possible. It's not easy. And sometimes we just give up and we stop praying, thinking that this is unfixable. There's no way that this problem can be solved. We might not use those words, but do you pray every day for, because, and I'll just mention this because it's something we all have in common. Do you pray for an end to COVID? And my family and I have been we've been praying for this every day for the past year, nothing. Or at least it hasn't ended. You know, now we don't know what kind of fruit those prayers have produced. The vaccine, some people's lives being spared, successful research, the numbers going down. You know, our prayers could have had a tremendous impact on the coronavirus being ended. But it's not always apparent. Now, when I pray every day, and my family prays every day for the coronavirus to come to an end, and we've been saying quick and miraculous end in our prayers. That's how the Zimaks pray, quick and miraculous end. But we've been doing this for a year. So when I pray later today for an end to the coronavirus, and I will, as will my family, do I really believe that with God all things are possible? I'll be honest with you. I believe that he can end it today if he wants. And I've really believed that along the way. But I don't always feel it. In other words, I believe my faith needs to be perfected a lot. My faith is pretty weak. I believe that he can do the impossible. But when we pray for an impossible situation, in our mind, you know, something we call impossible, and for you it might be, I can never stop being anxious. I just can't. How do we handle that? You know, how do we handle it? Do I really believe that with God all things are possible? And what I think, and look, I'm not passing judgment, because I've said it, and I really mean this. I have issues with faith. My faith is weak. I would like it to be stronger. And I think that's a healthy first step for all of us, to look at the statement, with God, all things are possible. If you have somebody who's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, when you pray for them, their physical healing, do you believe that healing can take place immediately? You may, and that's great. But there's probably some area that you could use faith strengthening for. I think an important first step for us is to recognize that, yeah, we don't always believe or act as if we believe all things are possible with God. And I think that's a big first step. Why? Because the first step to getting better is to acknowledge you have a problem. And Lent is a perfect time for this. Now, there are a couple steps we can take. We can ask the Lord to increase our faith. And that's a good thing, to pray for an increase in faith. But another thing we can do is use the faith that we have to step out in faith. And the best way to do that I can think of is to look at those impossible, again, I put that word in quotes because with God all things are possible, to look at that impossible problem in your life and ask the Lord to fix it, to take care of it, to turn it around. No matter what it is, no matter how improbable it is, pray for that intention. resting on your faith, not on your feelings. You don't have to feel like it's going to happen, but by faith, the very act that you're praying for it is an act of faith. Because if you thought there was no hope, you wouldn't pray for it. But to do that more, you know, not to just accept that my husband has cancer and he's going to die from it, and just pray for it to work out okay. No, I mean, I'm saying pray for the complete physical healing. Because sometimes we limit ourselves, we limit God, because we're afraid that if he doesn't come through, then we might really lose confidence in him. Or if we pray for someone in their presence for a healing and they don't get healed, then we're going to look like an idiot and they might get upset. You know, like, so we do hold back sometimes. So I say go ahead and pray for whatever that impossible need is in your life. But leave the answer and the timing up to God. Because I'm not going to stand here and tell you that he will always cure you or someone else of an illness if your faith is strong enough. He won't. There are times when he will not, because for whatever reason, for a reason that we may never understand, that illness is somehow going to help us. Looking at the big picture, it's going to help us to get to heaven somehow. But at least give him the chance to perform the miracle. And I think if we do that more, I've seen this in my life, then your faith begins to get to a level. And again, my faith is still weak. I'm going to be working on this for the rest of my life, as I think we all really should. Our faith can get to a level where we really do believe, yeah, with God, all things are possible. So do that today, whatever your impossible intention is. Pray that the Lord will fix it. And keep praying. Keep doing it. It takes faith to pray for something that you don't think is going to happen. I mean, think about that. I read that somewhere, and I really believe that. The fact that you don't think it's going to happen or don't feel it's going to happen doesn't mean you don't have faith. If you're praying for it, then you're acting in faith. You're exhibiting, you're exercising your faith. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay? All right, let's look at this gospel. Again, this is chosen for the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, commemorating the Holy Father, our Pope, and the leadership of the Church. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, it's pretty obvious to see why the church chose this gospel passage for this feast, which celebrates the papacy. This is, I think, pretty clear biblical evidence of Jesus establishing a leader of his church. And this is why, as Catholics, we look back through the years, through 2,000 plus years of church history, and we see an unbroken chain of leaders, beginning with the first pope, which is St. Peter, all the way down to our current pope. So this is a really powerful message, a really powerful example, biblical example, of why we believe that Jesus put a pope in charge of his church on earth. That's where this comes from. But I told you at the beginning, I kind of want to take this in a different direction, and I think it's good for our Lenten journey. And that's one of the things about Scripture. You can take it The Lord can speak to us in different ways. You can get multiple messages. And I really like this question. He directed it to Peter. And I'm going to direct it to you, to me, to all of us. Who do you say that I am? And I was thinking about that today. Who do I say Jesus is? And I thought about this. I pictured Jesus answering me, asking me the question. And my response was, you, Jesus, are my Lord and Savior. And then I could almost hear Jesus saying to me, all right, now prove it. You said it. Now prove it with your actions. And that's where I realized that, you know, I call him my Lord. That means he's my master. He's the boss. I realized that there are many times when I don't live my life like that. Because I don't always listen to him. I don't always do what he wants. I don't always trust him when he says, follow me. So I think during Lent, that's the perfect thing for me to work on. Or one of many things to work on. And I would ask you to picture Jesus asking you that question too. Who do you say that I am? And then take it from there. Answer the question and then take it from there. Where do you go from there? Because during Lent, we realize, if we're really introspective about this and serious about it, letting the Holy Spirit guide us, we're going to realize we've fallen short. But that's great. Because that's the first step, to recognize there's a problem. Remember we talked about not believing? Because Jesus said there's nothing impossible for God as well as the angel saying it in that gospel verse that we looked at earlier. But do we really believe him? Is he really our Lord? Is he really our Savior? Is he really the boss in our lives? Something to consider, okay? Hey, I am out of time. I've got to run. Thank you so much for listening. Please visit followingthetruth.com for more information about my work. Maybe you could leave a donation there to help my ministry continue to proceed in this tricky pandemic. Thank you again. God willing, I'll be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. Have a great day.